episode, my mum, Cynthia, shares about the preparation taken for the upcoming orbital radiation sessions. During that time, she reflected what it means to be totally surrendered to God.
Hi, this is Cynthia. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast so far, especially episode 7, which was a special interview with my husband on how we dealt with the crisis as a couple. After hearing the bad news that the orbital decompression surgery did not fully alleviate the swelling on my optic nerves, I would need to undergo orbital radiation to address the problem. There was no time to waste to help save my optic nerves. I was immediately referred to the radiation specialist within days. As we prepared for what is to come, this scripture from Romans 5:3 gave a glimpse of a future that there is light at the end of this very long tunnel. The verse goes, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." When my heart felt like it cannot bear what is to come, I felt God embracing me. I just need to embrace Him back and hold on with dear life. We went to the hospital for another CT scan prior to the appointment. There was a moment in between where we could steal time and have a nice cup of coffee outdoors. My first one at a cafe since the surgery. It was just lovely to have the sun shining on my skin. I feel God's ray of warmth and hope. Yeah, it's simple things like these that I take for granted, which I don't now after knowing what it's like to feel your life has stopped. When we met the radiation specialist, he's a very kind man and connected well with us. He explained the treatment will take 10 rounds of low radiation to blast the inflammatory cells that are causing the back of my eye muscles to swell, and hopefully the treatment will de-stress my optic nerves which are being squeezed. Each radiation treatment would require me to lie very still and have my face locked in a custom-made silicone mask, eyes closed and looking straight ahead. The radiation machine will take scans of my eyes, and the radiation will be programmed and positioned to zap its rays into my head. The machine will rotate me around during the treatment. There are always risks to radiation, like dry eyes, bald patches, and even potential brain tumor. At this stage, the urgency is to save my sight, so the risks are secondary. On the same day, our radiation specialist ordered for a silicone mask to be made for me. The whole process is pretty amazing, where the hot silicone is placed on the back and front of my face so that it's shaped to the contours of my face. The mask will secure my head while the radiation is taking place. The hospital will keep the mask ready for each treatment. I was particularly unnerved and very emotional on the day we visited the radiation specialist. Maybe because I didn't like going out after being visually impaired for 25 days at that stage. As you heard in the previous episode, the prayer closet is my go-to space. After coming home, I ran to my prayer closet, spent time crying before God, praying and praising to draw strength from Him to get through the day. I even spoke to my optic nerves, assuring them, "Hang on, help is coming." I asked God for Him to kindly give me a head start by killing some of the inflammatory cells before the radiation sessions. Later that week, I would meet with my surgeon again before I start the radiation treatment the following week. I prayed to God that He would show me signs that I'm starting to turn the corner before I meet with the surgeon. That same day, a pastor from my local church came to pray for me and anointed me with oil. He prayed for restoration of my sight and for God's light to shine through my eyes always. When I went to the hospital, I did the usual eye tests. I was surprised that I could see a bit better on my right eye with my glasses on. Before this, when the disease was most active, my glasses did not help. I was encouraged as well to see my surgeon a bit more encouraged himself after reviewing my CT scan and other tests. He said, "Any slight improvement is a good improvement. It shows that things will continue towards that direction." Wow. My husband and I left the appointment with a glimmer of hope that things are improving. As we were driving home, we gave our praise and thanksgiving to God for such positive news. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I think I did both. I asked God for a sign, and He's given me one, that I'm starting to turn the corner. Truly, God's grace is sufficient for me each day. After spending time with God, I always feel better and can breathe easier without my heart all knotted up with anxiety. God has been so good to me. He is an active listener and answers my heart's cries. I reflect on my life in light of the crisis. My sister-in-law had shared this scripture from John 15 verse 5 as she felt I was going through a pruning session, and I'm definitely feeling the cuts. The verse goes, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." In the earlier verses, Jesus talked about Him being the vine and Father God the gardener. Branches that do not bear fruit will be cut off, but He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that it will be even more fruitful. I've learned early in my Christian walk that God wants to see productivity and dislikes wasted potential. So I make it a point to activate my faith. I'm often on the go, motivated to perform good deeds so that my God is glorified through my life. But when I was down and out with this eye disease, I questioned my productivity and fruitfulness in the name of my God. Is there such a thing as going too far with fruitfulness until it encroaches into territories which God did not intend for me to go in the first place? And has the drive for productivity and fruitfulness led me to such busyness that I have robbed myself of being productive with my time to spend it with God first? Was I a believer or an achiever? Have I become proud of my abilities, thinking that I'm practicing humility? I look back at my journal entries in the past year and found my prayers were craving for more time daily with my loving God, as I knew He represents the biggest rock in my jar of time. In one journal entry, I was pondering on the steps to start a fire in a woodside heater. The flame needs kindling, like paper, twigs, shrubs, and wood to burn, and air to grow a bigger flame. I see the kindling like the Word of God, and the air being time and space. If I want the Word of God to be like an ever-burning furnace fueling my life, I need to give it time and space. I have not been consistent with my time and space to do that. and it affected my walk with God, especially when life throws me curveballs. I asked God, "What good am I now, Lord, to you when I cannot see?" I realized then that I have not totally surrendered to God. God's response to me was, He did not want my skills, intelligence, money, and resources. He just wants me, all of me, my heart, my undivided attention, my time. Because He loves me and has given His all to me through His Son, Jesus Christ. In this crisis, I realize that I am truly nothing without God. How conceited I've become, thinking that I do it for Him, when sometimes I did it without asking for His strength, His wisdom, His counsel. I want to be the fruitful branch, joined to the vine, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, counsel me, and show me where to go. Now I am totally surrendered to God, for without Him I am nothing, but with Him I am everything. When you love someone, you will go the distance for them. Who do you love, and you will go the distance for them? Like a love song, you will swim the widest ocean, climb the highest mountain, and lay your life for the one you love. You know, God has done that for you and me. God became flesh through Jesus Christ, who was wrongfully accused for crimes He did not do, and died the most horrific and shameful way without trial, for you and me. He surrendered His life to redeem us. For that, I owe Him my life.
I hope you've been inspired by Mum's incredible journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.